so many stories out there impacting education. That's why we're so grateful for the contributions that Kelly Solomon from the Cardinal Newman Society makes every week here on the second hour of Catholic Connection. So, Kelly, we've been going back and forth since yesterday and the day before on so many stories that are making headlines. But I wanted to start because I just spent my 2 cents segment this morning talking about Pennsylvania touting media literacy for kids while pushing left-wing sources. The sources that they include in this media literacy kit include the BBC, which right now is embroiled in this huge international bias scandal for major stories. It is just incredible what this network did. In addition to falsely editing a speech of Donald Trump's, their bias regarding the Hamas war, and many other stories. And yet, the state of Pennsylvania, okay, so this came out last year, this list of so-called trusted sources, but they certainly have had ample time to update it or remove both Al Jazeera, the BBC, and even NPR. What's your reaction to the story when you read it? Thanks for joining us.
Well, my first thought, Teresa, was this is right up your alley of exposing the bias in the media. And then the fact that they're promoting this to young students to seek out information. And I think, why not send students to read the best literature that's ever been written, the timeless great books and wide variety of literature that is available to students that they don't need that we're forming young people and educating them in K-12 education. And what books from the Cardinal Newman Society suggested reading list have these children read and been taught and exposed to before they're put into these media sources with big biases and controversies? And how are students going to be able to sort out the truth and find the truth when they've never spent time even with the great literature and learning how to analyze a text, how to critical think, how to seek out the truth in these texts?
Well, there's no other reason but to really just kind of brainwash them and to get them to think a particular way, because what they're saying about this media literacy kit is that it gives them resources, and they're supposed to use these so-called trusted resources, Kelly, to do their homework assignments, among other things.
Wow.
I mean, what else can you say except they're trying to brainwash them through this, right?
You know, and that's why the Cardinal Newman Society has been raising the alarm about government schools, about secular schools, and how Catholic families need to be really aware of the issues going on in so many of our public schools today. This is just one more example that, you know, they're being pointed to these sources that are going to confuse them, that are not always going to present them with the truth. And, you know, this is just another issue like the other issues we've seen in public schools, some public schools that are providing students with books that celebrate gender ideology, that celebrate same-sex marriage, right? These are the problems that young Catholics are going to face in public schools. And so Catholic families really need to know that this is happening and to know that they can seek out other alternatives for their children to be formed, to be educated.
Well, let me read the description that's in this media literacy schools kit. And they describe news organizations, and they say this: use the following list to search for news articles for your current event assignments. These sources are trusted sites organized for each of the topics: world, national, and state, local. World News, Reuters. Reuters has remained true to our trust principles of independence, integrity, and freedom from bias, working relentlessly to bring news from the source of all corners of the globe. British Broadcasting Corporation, the world's largest public service broadcasting network servicing the United Kingdom and the world with top stories. Okay, involved in a major scandal right now. Two of their executives resigned. Al Jazeera is in here. The first independent news channel in the Arab world, based in Qatar, focusing on regional and international affairs. The Associated Press, which also has its share of issues, by the way. U.S.-based, founded in 1846, known for fast, accurate, and unbiased news. And The Guardian newspaper, known for investigative journalism focused on U.S. and international news. And then for the national area, they say PBS and NPR. Oh, my goodness. Now, it's interesting, all of these, they don't put a description in about whether they're liberal, but then you come to the Dispatch, which is the lone, more balanced outlet, which tends to be a little bit more conservative, and they put in their conservative lean.
There's always an agenda being pushed here, right? Teresa, how many of these outlets have you exposed media bias in over the years?
Well, and, all of them. Yeah, yeah. It's just so frustrating, right, though, that they couldn't update this, considering that they came out with this media literacy kit and they've been, you know, making the rounds. The governor and the head of education in Pennsylvania have been making the rounds and just touting these organizations, touting them is so wonderful. So big, big story. Okay, on a positive note, let's talk about the Pope and students and AI, because there was some really good stuff coming out of the Vatican on that, right?
That's right. And, you know, Teresa, that last story, I think, ties into the Pope's emphasis on AI and technology and how it should be, how we should be aware of that it can be used for good or for bad, and mm-hmm. and how we need to be very thoughtful with how we're using it. And, you know, in the last story, it's interesting how they're targeting students through what they're reading, through the media they're consuming, because they know it can have such an effect on young people. And so the Pope, in his latest new document on Catholic education that just came out, you know, it's been an exciting couple of weeks in Catholic education with St. John Henry right. Newman being named Doctor of the Church, patron of Catholic education. Then the Pope releases this new document called Drawing New Maps of Hope. And so we're, you know, going through this document, pulling out different themes. And one of the big themes is the use of AI and technology in education. And that is likely going to be the topic of his next encyclical that will be coming out as well. And so it's interesting to explore and for Catholic families and Catholic educators to read through what the Pope is saying about technology, and then to explore some case studies of what schools have been doing in response to AI and technology already, and, you know, what they can do going forward.
Yeah, it's so beautiful what's happening, at least in terms of his making, you know, making a real effort to help children understand, young people and kids in high school and college understand the difference between, let's say, AI and reality, right?
Right, exactly. But, you know, he writes, technologies must serve, not replace the person. They must enrich the learning process, not impoverish relationships and communities. And how much of their communities for young people is now online? I know many mm-hmm. college students, they go off and they're already connected with all the new friends they're going to meet in college on social media before they ever step foot on campus. Every student already has an impression and a reputation built just from their social media profile at many colleges today, and how different that is when these communities have gone so digital. The Pope goes on to say, a university and a Catholic school without vision risks soulless efficiency, the standardization of knowledge, which then becomes spiritual impoverishment. I can go on, Teresa. He says, our attitude towards technology can never be hostile, but it requires discernment in planning, evaluation, platforms, data protection, equitable access. In any case, no algorithm can substitute what makes education human. Poetry, irony, love, art, imagination, the joy of discovery, and even learning from mistakes as an opportunity for growth.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, he's doing a lot with this also with other groups. In addition to the young people, he's really making AI a focus of his pontificate, which I think is so, so crucial and important when you see everything that's going out there. And we could talk more about this when we come back. We are, of course, in our Cardinal Newman Society Tuesday Newman Guide News with Kelly Solomon. More on education, our young people, and what we can do about it when we come back. Welcome back. Catholic Connection, as Kelly and I were saying during the break, we're a source you can trust, certainly, and of course, a wonderful Cardinal Newman Society as well. That's why we have Kelly Solomon on with us every week for Newman Guide News. Great story about the Pope and how he's really trying to work with young people and help them understand how to use AI wisely and how to use media wisely in general. There's another story you sent me, Kelly, that was fascinating about how one academy is staying away, having their children stay, the students stay away from social media altogether, correct? Tell us about it.
That's right, Teresa. So as schools respond to, many schools have already been dealing with technology in many different forms. How should teachers use it? How should administrators use it? How should students use it? And, you know, one Catholic school in Texas, Faustina Academy, is a K-12 private independent Catholic school in Irving, Texas. They asked parents to formally commit to a school policy of keeping their kids social media free while enrolled. And what's interesting about this story is it really came apart pretty naturally. It started in 2017 after seeing years of smartphone use and social media apps on children. The principal began asking parents to prohibit social media use among students. She held 2 weeks of mandatory parent meetings for every grade level, discussing the harms of popular smartphone apps that were drawing kids away from reality and exposing them to horrifying content that was right at their fingertips. She even brought in an IT expert to explain to both parents and students that the app and smartphone creators intentionally made the devices addictive. And so this is how it started out. 100% of the parents were willing to verbally commit to keeping their children off social media. But this was kind of raised to the next level in 2022 when parents said, you know, this would actually just be much easier for us if this was an official school policy.
Wow.
And so that's what the principal did. She said, okay, this is now an official policy that we'll go over with newly enrolled families that there's no social media use by Faustina Academy students.
So it's been going well, because you would think there would be, like, at least among the kids and some parents too, you know, like a huge rebellion to push back against this.
Yes. You know, this is a really faithfully Catholic school. It is one of the schools we recommend in the Newman Guide. As you know, we've been expanding our recommendations of Catholic elementary and secondary schools. So Faustina Academy is one of the Newman Guide recommended schools, and parents are really seeking it out as a faithful Catholic institution where they can partner with other parents and strive among the same goals, right, to help their children know, love, and serve God. And so, you know, they did have a large parent group that was really on board with this, and they said their students didn't receive as much pushback because when all your friends aren't on social media,
right.
You don't feel like you're missing out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I can imagine, I'm sure years will go by and there'll be studies or the parents and the teachers will probably take note of how different the atmosphere is at home and in school, and I would think that's already happening.
Yes, you know, there was another quote in this article about how much freer and happy their students seemed just because of the detachment from this virtual reality life and instead really engaging in what's right in front of them. You know, one parent said, kids are catechized on the playground. Their peers and what their peers' families are doing affects them, regardless of what their teachers say.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, I wonder, do you think something like that would catch on? Are there other schools, Catholic schools, doing that you know of, Kelly?
Yes. You know, I think this is a big topic among families right now. I see this actually at my local Catholic school that my children attend, and I can see that we're just at the beginning stages of where this Faustina Academy was years ago, because a group of parents is starting to talk. And the first step was they sent out literature, right, to all the families about things to be aware of on personal smartphones and social media sites, about pornography addictions and addictions to the phone and dangerous sites and things that students can come across. So they're starting to educate parents about these things. And I can see this quickly moving to the next step of getting some parent meetings going and more parent formation on these topics. And again, recognizing that parents are the primary educators of their children, that we need to be aware of what we're allowing our children to be exposed through technology. How can we use technology for good? How can we do you know, what the Pope was saying in his new document on Catholic education about using it for its good and not letting students just live in a virtual reality where they have no connection to our real life here on earth and our dignity and image in the image of God.
Yeah, I wonder, is there any pushback? Because some parents, you know, if you look at this happening in other schools, in secular school districts, for example, or public school districts, they say, well, I want to be able to reach my student, my son or daughter, in case of an emergency. But at the same time, if there's an emergency, you don't want the kids to, you know, be on the phone. You want them to be paying attention to what the school is trying to get them to do in terms of their safety.
Right, exactly. And I think schools have so many processes set up for things like that. I mean, many schools already do not let their students have access to their phones, at least during the day while they're at school. And, you know, some schools will have students check in their phone when they first come in, and they have to get it out from the office at the end of the day. Then they're allowed to turn it on and contact their parents and whatnot. So this is, you know, an issue that's constantly changing. There's new things being built in AI and technology all the time. And I think as Catholics, we really need to lead on this issue. And I think our Catholic schools can set an example with how this is handled and then show the kind of lives that students are able to build because we don't have an addiction to technology. You know, it's not just taking something away. It's filling it with joyful, wholesome, good activities that are community building, that give students those relationships to build and to make good friendships.
This is a pretty incredible report on Catholic News Agency that you're quoting, Kelly, and I would encourage parents to look it up online. I just want to read a little bit more from it. The expert, and this is back in 2022, as you mentioned, when this person first came in and talked to the parents about social media and cell phones. The expert told parents kids could easily access content so harmful it was far beyond what anyone could even imagine. Parents were amazed at what they learned, and 100% were willing to verbally commit to keeping their children off social media. She said it was necessary that every parent get on board, and you mentioned this earlier, in order to address a collective action problem, the fear of missing out, FOMO, that will be present among the students if every family did not have the same policy at home. And then in 2022, as you mentioned earlier, the official policy became official policy at the school. This is incredible, and this is super, super important, again, for people to join together. There is safety, I think, in numbers, and to have that backing of other parents, that's got to be a real boost, I think, for moms and dads.
Exactly. I mean, as moms and dads, wow, I want other parents to be supporting the same kind of mission we're trying to provide for our kids. And, you know, Teresa, what I'm seeing at a lot of other public schools, when they find students having issues with smartphones and technology, addictions to pornography, or another parent in this article even mentioned how at a previous school, an eighth grade girl became involved with a 45-year-old man who she thought was a teenage boy through social media. And rather than recognizing the dangers and changing their policies, the school hushed it up. I think that this is a very hushed up topic in education overall today. And again, as Catholics, we really shouldn't be quiet about it. We should be proactively addressing this because of the whole formation we're trying to provide students can be very undermined by things like social media use and addiction to smartphones.
Yeah, it's really a great idea. Okay, one more story we have time for. Oh my goodness, the president of Georgetown. Fill us in on this. Oops, Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this one, apparently the new president of Georgetown University wrote in an article several years ago, and I hope that he has changed his mind, that he will be public about his support of church teaching now, but as far as we're aware, no other indication has been made that he said he opposes church teaching on homosexuality. So this is obviously a big scandal. This is the kind of issues the Cardinal Newman Society has been reporting on, especially in Catholic higher education for 30 years, that this is not what the church expects of Catholic education and its leaders, that our leaders should be pledging fidelity to the church, publicly supporting church teaching, and setting that example for the thousands of students who attend that Catholic college.
But what do you do with this? I mean, it's so alarming in terms of also pushing back. He pushed back against Roe v. Wade, the reversal of Roe v. Wade, and he's the head of a Catholic university. It's just so frustrating to see this kind of thing. Now, I was glad to see that your own, of course, president, Patrick Riley, spoke out about this.
Yes, he did. You know, Patrick has been an outspoken advocate for faithful Catholic education for a long time. He wants families to be aware of these issues. He wants them to know where they should send their children, which institutions they should financially support, that they should make their friends aware of these things, that you have to be discerning about your education you're choosing for your kids and for your grandkids and for even telling your friends about the issues that are going on in higher education. at many secular universities and, unfortunately, at many Catholic colleges. And so seek out a Newman Guide college. That's what you know I would say, Teresa.
No, I totally agree. And if you find this out and your kids are going to this school and they come home and they've lost their Catholic faith, and you know what? Something's got to change. I'm sorry. So I love what Patrick said. He didn't mince any words. Let me share his quotes. Georgetown was dangerous for Catholic families even before this. Patrick Riley, president of the Carmel Newman Society, told LifeSite News via email. What can be expected from a Catholic university president who publicly rejects Catholic teaching on sexuality? This is part of the truth that is foundational to Catholic education. Every Catholic educator should vigorously oppose what this man embraced 11 years ago. And while I hope he has since returned to Christ, I can't imagine trusting him as a leader of Catholic education, Riley said. Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep, but Georgetown is leading lambs to the slaughter. Wow. Good for him. Good for Patrick for being so strong.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like, where are these people coming from? Why do they want to be at a Catholic, so-called Catholic university, if they feel this way? Why are they even Catholic? If you don't agree with church teaching, why are you Catholic? Why?
Right. And that Catholic colleges should be actually educating students on these issues, forming them in truth and in faith and reason, and giving them the reasons why the church teaches what she teaches. Right.
Right.
Yes. So I pray for the students there. I pray they can come across the Newman Guide. Many Newman Guide colleges accept transfer students. Don't spend your time and your money in a place that's not going to build you up in your faith, where you're not going to be a stronger Catholic at the end of your 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Because what really matters, your degree or your soul? Your soul is a lot more important, right?
Right.
Yeah. Kelly, great stuff. I mean, there's other stories that we could look at, but I think we covered quite a bit in today's two segments. And I'm so excited about, of course, St. John Henry Newman becoming a doctor of the church. I haven't talked to Patrick as I was taping last week. Did he have a great time in Rome?
He had a wonderful time in Rome. He was at the Jubilee Gathering for Educators. He was at the Mass, naming Cardinal Newman a doctor of the church. He was even able to go over to one of our Newman Guide recommended colleges, Catholic Institute of Technology, provisionally recommending the Newman Guide, and give a lecture there on St. John Henry Newman. And I think he really sees it as part of the vision for Cardinal Newman Society to even more so educate people about St. John Henry Newman, his vision for education, which is distorted in a lot of places, that Newman really argued for authentically Catholic education that would reintegrate everything within a student.
Well, great news, of course, about John Henry Newman becoming a doctor of the church, and we so appreciate all your great updates, Kelly, which is why we have you on every week. CardinalNewmanSociety.org for more information. We'll be right back.